Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we honor Dr. Reverend Marie Carey on this morning, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get started. Have a few announcements. We want to remember those that lost their lives 20 years ago on 9/11. We also want to pray for those that are facing the national disasters in Louisiana, in Haiti, and all over the world. We also want to pray for those that are dying from this coronavirus, whether they have or have not been vaccinated. We want to continue to watch and pray. Amazing Grace School of Ministry are conducting Old Tethe Night via Zoom. Please email Dr. Carey at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AMAZENGRACEMINISTRIES@gmail.com. And that's to register for the Old Testament survey classes, or just if you want more information. Contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 0643. And to those who have sent in a donation, we thank you for undergirding the ministry. Thank you to those that have sent in your donations, and they are much appreciated. The 5th Illinois Jurisdiction East, we are in our 18th year convocation, and I'm inviting you to join us as we come to the conclusion of the matter. Tonight is our youth night, 7:30. The Elder Jerome Beal will be the speaker, and on tomorrow at 5:30, the Honorable Bishop James C. Austin will be delivering a mighty word of God, celebrating the Christ in every crisis. You may come out to our headquarters, St. Luke Church, God in Christ, 914 North Orleans, or you can watch us on Facebook, 5th Illinois Jurisdiction East Church of God in Christ. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584 or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And we are on the air 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And you can go to the link. The link is http://tobtira.com/s/11998832. Just click right on it and you'll go directly into the lesson. Now today we have a word that will captivate your mind and break the yokes of bondage. Listen carefully, take notes, and study so that this word will be hid in your heart. Did you know that praise and worship are the keys to maintaining our relationship with God? It is so important to worship God because in our worship, we enter into the presence of the Lord, and there is joy in the presence of the Lord. We are going to explore what it means to worship God through the eyes of David. The theme for this month is offering praise to our God. The lesson for this second Saturday in the month of September is lost for 20 years. Where did you lose your worship? Our text is 2 Samuel 6:1-7. This is a New King James Version. The ark was brought to Jerusalem. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose and went with all the people who were with him from the Baal Judah to bring up from the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord of all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzziah put out his hand on the ark of God and took of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzziah, and God struck him there for his error. He died there by the ark of God. 1 Chronicles 15:1-2, and this is the 21st Century King James Version. And David made himself houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them had the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, to minister unto him forever. 1 Chronicles 15:13, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. 2 Samuel 6:14-19, then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and men, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, every one to his house. And let me give you a little background. David had just newly been crowned king. The relocation of the ark was a major act. It was significant that one of David's top priorities was related to Israel's spiritual life and their devotion to their creator. David consulted with his officials, and his proposal to move the ark was met with an enthusiastic agreement. The ark had been at Bala at Judah, also called Kiriath-Jearim, according to 1 Chronicles 13:1 through 8. Before David could execute his plan, he had delayed for two unsuccessful Philistine attacks to the city of Jerusalem and set up government there. And once he had established in Jerusalem, David returned his attention to the ark. Now the ark's journey. During the wilderness wandering, the ark was kept in the tabernacle, wherever the camp moved. But once the Israelites was established in the promised land, the ark and the entire tabernacle complex was kept at Bethel. That's Judges 20 and 27. At one point, during Samuel's time as judge, the Philistines captured the ark in battle, 1 Samuel 4. The ark will be lost for 70 years. 4, 1 through 5, Israel went to fight the Philistines, camping at Ebenezer. The Philistines, Ebenezer means hitherto the Lord has helped us. The Philistines lined up for battle, and Israel was defeated. 4,000 men died. The elders considered their defeat and decided to bring up the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh. The Ark had been instrumental at Jerusalem, Joshua 6 and 8. When it was part of the battle array, the Ark of the Covenant was normally hidden from view inside the Holy of Holies. When seen in public, it would be covered with sacred drapes. So the son of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, brought out the Ark of the Covenant into the camp of Israel. Israel's morale went up for the moment. The Philistines were afraid of the gods who smote the Egyptians in the wilderness. We know God smote the Egyptians in Egypt with plagues who were against them. They did not want to become slaves of the Israelites, so they took fresh courage and killed 30,000 men of Israel, almost 10 times more than the first battle. Hophni and Phinehas were among the dead. The Philistines had defeated the gods of the Israel and killed their priests. A Benjamite came from the battle with the news, and Shiloh was in an uproar. There had been a great slaughter. Hophni and Phinehas were dead, and the ark was in the hands of the Philistines. Eli was 98, heavy and blind. When he heard the news, he fell over backwards and broke his neck. Phinehas' wife was in labor, boy that was named Ichabod. The glory had departed from Israel. Without the Ark of the Covenant, where the glory of God was in rent between the cherubims, it would be assumed that God had deserted Israel and she was doomed. It was a dark time. The triumph Philistines, they carried the Ark of the Covenant from Ebenezer to Ashdod and set it in a temple beside Dagon. In the morning, the image of Dagon had fallen down before the Ark. They set the god back on his perch, and the next morning he had fallen again, his limbs and head broken off. Both hands lay on the threshold. The people of Ashdod were afflicted with tumors. They brought the Ark of Gath to Gath. But tumors broke out upon them too, because of plague, deadly bubonic plague. After 7 months of epidemic sickness and death, the Philistines called on their priests and diviners for a plan to return the ark. They were advised to send the ark back with a guilt offering, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice images of the things that ravaged the land. And they should give glory to God of Israel so that he will lift hands from them. They should not harden their hearts as Pharaoh and the Egyptians hardened their hearts hundreds of years before. The application of their knowledge about Jerusalem by Israel and Egypt is now the opposite of the one given before the battle. God sent signs as sickness on the Philistines until they returned the sacred object to Israel at Beth Shemesh. God also struck down 70 of Beth Shemesh who tried to look inside the ark. People there called the priest of Kiriath-Jearim to retrieve the ark. No attempts will be made to return the tabernacle. And it remained Kiriath-Jearim for 20 years. The Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred object connected with the wilderness tabernacle. 3 months after leaving Egypt, Moses was commanded by the Lord to raise a freewill offering for the purpose of constructing a sacred meeting place. Exodus 19:1-25, 1-8. The Lord gave Moses exact details and dimensions for each of the objects of the tabernacle and the artifacts that would be included. During the period of the tabernacle's construction, Aaron and his sons were ordained to be the high priest, who would provide for the service of the tabernacle. That's Exodus 29. Specifications of the material and the construction of the tabernacle are all detailed in Exodus in chapters 25 through 40. The Ark of the Covenant was a gold rectangular box that contained the Ten Commandments, a jar containing matter, Exodus 16:33, and the budding rod of Aaron, Numbers 17:18-10. The Ark symbolizes God's covenant and presence with Israel, and it was kept in the most holy place, which was the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle. It consists of 4 distinct objects, the Ark proper, the mercy seat, the cherubim, and the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God. The lid to the Ark of the Covenant was made of acacia wood overlaid with pure gold inside of it. It was the place where Aaron would make atonement for the sins of the people. Gold was symbolic of the royalty and divinity. From the mercy seat, God will grant forgiveness for sin. The mercy seat was one of the most significant articles in the tabernacle. The mercy seat symbolizes the presence of God among his people, for it has served as his throne. In the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, the term mercy seat is translated propitiatory, meaning covering. The primacy of worship. Worshiping God is the primary duty of the people who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the church. Worship should be the foundation of all things done in the Lord's name. Jesus taught that God seeks persons to worship him and in truth. John 4:24. No sacred tasks take precedence over the need to worship God, not our ministries or preaching the gospel. Ministry and preaching are both especially important, but they do not supersede the absolute necessity of worship. Worship keeps believers focused on God, then prepares and strengthens us for the work of the ministry. One of the ways that believers grow spiritually is through active participation in corporate worship. What is active participation? It includes being mentally and physically engaged in the worship experience, eagerly listening and receiving the reading and preaching of the word and the singing of sacred songs with enthusiasm. One's personal response in religion contributes to the overall climate of positive and powerful communal worship experience. Worship is important for several reasons. First, the Bible teaches that God's people are to worship God and serve him. Only God is the sole object of our worship and praise. He alone is worthy and should receive the adoration of his children. Exodus 20:1-5, Deuteronomy 26:10, 1 Chronicles 16:28-29, Psalms 95:6, Isaiah 66:23, and Matthew 4:10. God is the focal point of all worship. Second, worship is important because and the majesty of God. Third, worship is important because it allows worshipers to regard his or her humanity, limitations, and sinfulness in comparison to an infinite and holy creator. Isaiah 6:5. Now, moving the Ark of the Covenant from the home of Abinadab was the strategic decision of David's reign as king. The presence of the Ark in Jerusalem meant that the very presence of the Lord would hover over the city of David. During the process of moving the Ark, David and the people who were with him ignored the prescribed procedures in proper handling or transportation. The Ark was never to be put on the cart, but was to be held on the shoulders of the Levites, and David failed to consult the Lord in his decision to move the Ark. The Ark was to be carried on a specially designed pole and carried by the priest. Instead, Abinadab's sons placed the Ark unsecured on a new ox-drawn cart, Exodus 25:14-15. Deuteronomy 31:26, Joshua 3:3, 6:8, 4:16, as they were going up to Jerusalem, the ox had stumbled, causing the ark to slide. And therefore, to keep the ark from falling, Abinadab's son Uzziah reached out to secure the ark with his hand, in direct violation of the divine law, and died immediately in judgment for his mistakes. 2 Samuel 6:6-7. How many of us have lost our worship to the point of going to God illegally, worshiping things not the Lord, not according to God's word, not in humbleness, not in our hearts, allowing the distractions of life and situations to overpower us to the point that we forget our praise? The remaining men removed the ark from the cart and took it into the home in Obed-Edom, 2 Samuel 6:8-10. This is the New Living Translation. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzziah. He named that place Perez Uzziah, which means to burst out against Uzziah, as it is still called on today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. 3 months later, David made a second attempt to bring the ark of the covenant into Jerusalem. This time he got instructions from the Lord. This time he knew what he was supposed to do in order to bring the ark of the covenant to Jerusalem. In the meantime, that 3 months in which the Ark of the Covenant stayed in Obed-Edom's home, he was blessed. He was blessed going in, and he was blessed going out. The blessings were so great that the people in the land could see that God was blessing him. They saw that the presence of the Lord was abiding in his house. I want to know, is the presence of the Lord abiding in your house, or have you lost it? This time, David wore a linen ephod, which was the garment of the priest. 2 Samuel 6:13, 1 Samuel 2:18, 22:18. After the men were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. 1 Samuel 2:18, but Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of the priest. 1 Samuel 22:18, then the king said to Doeg, "You do it." So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments. Now David, he was accompanied by a great throng of people, all who were celebrating the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant. Yet while all the people were filled with joy, there were some haters out there that didn't want to see David praising the Lord. They did not want to see David lifting up God, and that's what's happening to us. Our haters that don't want to see us magnifying God, They don't want to see us praising God for the things that he has done. It had not been for the Lord on our side, we would have been lost. We would have been down and we would have been gone. But God has blessed each and every one of us. So Michael David's wife, she sharply criticized his expressions of praise to God. In turn, David reminded her that the Lord had chosen him to replace her father, and she was cursed and would not bear children. In conclusion, every moment of worship should be celebrated of God's grace and mercy. We deserve nothing from God. God does not owe us anything. Anything good that was experienced in the result of the grace and mercy, Ephesians 5:2, and this is the New Living Translation, that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. Grace is simply defined as unmerited favor. God's favor gives us good things that we do not deserve and could never earn. Rescued from judgment by God's mercy, grace is anything and everything we reserve beyond that mercy. Romans 3:24. That yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus, freed us from the penalty of our sin. Although worship can be quiet and reverent at times, it does not always have to be so solemn. Dignified events where the Spirit of God cannot have free reign or expression. Worship can be a joyful expression of God's salvation and deliverance. This is one of the lessons of David's joyous demonstration of praise. As he danced before the Lord with all his might, every child of God should be able to celebrate something that God has done for them. Whether victory over personal defeat, victory over spiritual inhibition, release from something dreadful consequences, there are countless reasons to give God praise. The same God who delivered Israel from slavery and military defeat still delivers his people today from enemies, poverty, coronavirus, ignorance, temptation, substance abuse, failed or troubled marriages, impractical spending habits, fear, anxiety, sexual deviances, hateful actions, and venomous speech. Every true child of God can celebrate these and other blessings, as well as divine deliverance from the bondage of spiritual and eternal death. There is freedom with God. There is always a reason to celebrate, for the Lord makes us free. Free us from sin, free from death, free indeed. John 8:36. And the Amplified Bible says, so if the Son liberates you, that means makes you free, then you are really and unquestionably free. I tell people all the time, who the Son set free is free indeed. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come boldly yet humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, we just want to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of peace. And we thank you on today, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you because we are able to worship you, Lord God, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And then, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed. Lord God, forgive us for our shortcomings. And then, Lord God, we just thank you for Dr. Carey and this lesson on today, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to be with her. Be in all her endeavors, Lord God. Bless her, Lord God. Only you know how, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just thank you for your people, Lord God. We thank you for the listeners, one by one, name by name, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to look on the bereaved families on today, Lord God. Lord God, look on your people. You know what each individual needs, Lord God. Meet the need, God. Oh, God, meet the need, God. Whatever the need is, do it for them, Lord God. Show your glory, Lord God. You get the glory, Lord God. And then, Lord God, allow them to worship you. Let them begin to worship you, Lord God. Open their mouths and worship you, Lord God, the way that you desire it, Lord God. And we just thank you. Lord God, we thank you for your presence on today, Lord God, in this lesson. And then, Lord God, we just asking you, Lord God, to just be with us, Lord God. Lord God, look on our leaders, Lord God. Look on our president, Lord God. Lord God, look on our bishops, our pastors, Lord God, our evangelists, our missionaries, the lay members, Lord God, the mothers, Lord God. Look on us all, Lord God. Look on the whole household of faith, God. And then, Lord God, we're going to give you the glory. We're going to give you the honor, and we're going to give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week when your host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the CEO, will return. Same time. Remember now, if something was said that encouraged your heart, let Dr. Carey know by a text, email. Text her at 309-750-7584 or drop her an email at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and don't forget to social distance yourself. Until next time, enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed of the Lord.